Let's stand together for the reading of the Word. You've been sitting for a while because Justin just went on and on and on with that update there. Let you stretch out just a bit. Mark chapter number 6, if you can find it this morning. Mark chapter number 6. We've been studying matters of home and family throughout the summer months. This is a message I've preached in many, many churches, but I don't believe I've ever brought this sermon here. So if it pertains to you in some way or another, it's the work of God, and we'll thank God for it. Bible says in verse number 17, Herod himself, Mark 6, 17, Herod himself sent forth and laid hold upon John, that's John the Baptist, God's preacher, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man and holy, observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things that hurt him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou should ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Father, help me please this morning to speak the truth to a congregation of people who've separated themselves from this world because we don't want to live like this world. And pray, God, that you deliver us from their way of thinking and their way of living and set our feet on higher ground, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. According to the Word of God, Herodias is a mother raising a daughter, and she is an adulteress. Notice the Bible says that she is Philip's wife, but she's married to Herod. God doesn't view things the way the world views things. The world says, I'll just swap one out for another, and God says, I didn't approve of the swap. When John the Baptist comes along, he has no particular quarrel with Herod. He has no particular quarrel with Herodias. All he does is proclaim the truth of the Word of God. He says to a man, the relationship you are in violates the law of God. And when word gets back to the house that the Word of God condemns Herod's conduct, the Word of God condemns Herodias' conduct, rather than repent, said Herodias finds in her heart a murderous desire to silence the voice of the preacher so she does not have to live under the convicting power of the Word of God. Amen. I would suggest to you this morning the problem in America is not Donald Trump and it's not Joe Biden. I'd suggest to you this morning the problem is not Republicans or Democrats. I'd suggest to you this morning the problem in America is the vast number of people who somewhere along the way in these last 50 years have heard the truth from the Word of God And rather than repent and bring their lives in line with God's Word, they have set themselves against whatever preacher it is that proclaimed that Word and sought in any way possible to silence the voice of that preacher so it doesn't have an influence upon their home and upon their living. Our town is littered with men like Herod. Heard the truth, to some measure received the truth, but were bowed into submission by a woman who hated the truth and sided with her against the Word of God. It's bad enough that this woman is unfaithful to her husband. It's bad enough that this woman doesn't want to hear the preaching of God's Word. But she's raising a daughter. She is the primary influence on a young girl who will become a young lady who will become herself one day a wife and a mother. And what a tragedy for a girl to be born into such a home and raised under such an influence. The Bible says in verse number 18, John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." John has no opinion in the matter. John has no personal quarrel with Herod or Herodias. John's task is to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." And he does so. And a second great plague in our nation is the failure of ministers to report the words of God to people who are violating them. An unwillingness to tell people who are living in sin that they are living in sin. Their desire to mega their church and to have an emerging, large, giant congregation full of people who are practicing sin not on the fifth Sunday of every night, but on every Sunday. It's crippled our nation. It's unlawful in the eyes of God to commit adultery. It's unlawful in the eyes of God to be unfaithful to the marriage vows. And yet most people never attend church, and those who do never hear those truths proclaimed. John the Baptist told the truth, and the Bible says in verse 19, "Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him." But her quarrel's not with John. It's with God. It's not with what John said. John didn't say it. God said it. But she's angry with the messenger and would have killed him. But she could not. That's a really tough thing, to have that level of bitterness in your heart. It's a sad way to live, to have that level of anger in your heart. Festering, brooding, 20 years after you've left a church, still posting negative comments about the pastor. 15 years after you've left a church, still trying to destroy the reputation of the minister. All because some sin in your life or your child's life or your family's life was addressed from the Word of God and you couldn't stand to hear it. That's Herodias. The Bible says in verse number 22, on Herod's birthday, we read about in verse 21, great supper in verse number 21, all the big shots are there, verse 21. Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and then that sat with him. I want to say to you this morning, and I say it without reservation, I say it without hesitation, I think I know the group of people to whom I am speaking. If I called upon one of our Sunday school girls this morning or one of our teenage girls this morning and said, "It's my birthday and all my friends are here, I want you to come up and dance." Not only would they be terribly afraid that it might be them, that every young lady here, "Oh, please, not me." How would any of our girls know how to contort themselves and gyrate themselves and move themselves in such a way as to provoke a crowd of men to lust? Where did this girl learn to dance in such a way as to seduce men? I say to you, what a pity that this girl or any girl would be raised by a mother who would teach a daughter the ways of unrighteousness Amen. Rather than the ways of holiness and righteousness before the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
This mother has not trained her daughter to serve God, not trained her daughter to be a blessing to God and to others, but has trained her daughter to use her body and to provoke the lusts of men to gain an advantage. There's words for that. And they're not good ones. There's Bible words for that. And they're not good ones. And I would say to you this morning that Herodias did this by intent. God forbid any of us do this by accident. I don't suppose there's a mother here that would teach her daughter to conduct herself in this way. But have you allowed the movies to teach her to conduct herself in this way? Have you allowed the television to teach her to conduct herself in this way? Have you allowed the filth on the internet to teach her to conduct herself in this way? Has your daughter learned the ways of the world, not from you, but from those to whom you have given your daughter? I would hope, if any young lady here were ever called upon to do what this girl was called upon to do, they would be ashamed, afraid, and unable to carry out this assignment. But the daughter of Herodias had learned how to get a man all worked up. And she did. And sir, may I say to you that you might be able to govern a nation as Herod did. Can you govern your flesh? You might be able to control armies. You might be able to control an empire. You might be able to control the finances of a government. Can you control the lust of your eyes? Something a little creepy. Something a little creepy. A man getting worked up watching his stepdaughter convert about. Say, that's just wrong.
Amen.
Well, what are you watching that's getting you worked up? What are you looking at that's stirring you to give up? Maybe not half your kingdom, maybe your marriage, maybe your testimony, maybe your reputation. Herod could control a state within the Roman Empire, but he couldn't control his heart. He couldn't control his eyes. So this girl, I'm not justifying her conduct, but she certainly has no righteous example. She certainly has no godly leadership. And some of you young ladies are going to have to do better than your mothers. Some of you women are going to have to do better than your mothers taught you. Some of you men are going to have to do better than your fathers. Well, you know, I was raised by a man like Herod, and no excuse. You got a Bible. You got a John the Baptist in your life.
Amen.
I was raised by a woman like Herodias, and she pushes the world and the flesh upon me. Rise above it.
Amen.
You don't have to follow their bad example. And the Bible says in verse number 23, Herod offers her half the kingdom. And she went forth in verse 24 and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, I could have money, I could have power, I could have influence, I could have comfort. Get that preacher's voice silenced. That's all she wanted. That's all she wanted. No names, no details. I cannot tell you how many men I have met in the course of my nearly 50 years in the ministry who have said, I walked out of that church and it ruined my marriage, it ruined my family, it ruined my life. The worst mistake I ever made was turning my back on the preaching of the Word of God. This woman could have had a throne. All she wanted was to not hear that preacher preach. She could have had half an empire. All she wanted was to put her fingers in her ears and stop the preaching of the Word of God from reaching her heart. It's a bad choice. So I'd never make a decision like that. What did you listen to this week when you could have been listening to God's Word? What did you read this week when you could have been reading God's Word? Where did you keep company this week when you could have kept company with God's people? Don't do slowly what Herodias did rapidly.
Amen.
Silence the preaching of the Word of God. She said, "What do you want?" And she straightway came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." She didn't just want him dead. She wanted his head. She didn't just want his head. She wanted it served up like a trophy. "I won. I defeated the Word of God. I defeated the preacher. I defeated the laws of righteousness. Look at me. I'm the winner." What did she win? Eternity in hell? What did she win? A place in the lake of fire? What did she win? No water to cool her tongue? No peace in her torment? It's a very short and a very shallow victory. If you silence the Word of God in your life comes to an end, and then guess what you face for all eternity? The Word of God. Better decide with it now.
Amen.
But again, I want to ask you something. You see our girls around here. You see our Sunday school children, and you see our teens. They get up to sing songs, and you watch them interact with you in the church service. Which of them would be comfortable having a severed head handed to them? Honestly, how depraved do you have to be? Here it is. Here's John the Baptist's head. "Thank you. Mom, look." That's pretty sick. It's pretty far gone. That's pretty desensitized. If you ever witnessed a murder, it would probably scar you for life. But we're raising a generation that watches murder every night in their living room. They've seen slashers and cutters and shooters and bombers, and there's a culture of death in our society. Video games, where the object is to blow people to bits and shoot them and kill them and rack up points for killing people. I don't think any of us would say to our children, "We want you to grow up and be comfortable with death." But are we allowing others to teach that by what we permit?
Amen.
Somehow or another, this woman raised a daughter who was not offended or shocked or troubled or disturbed by a severed head in a platter in her hands. That's a messed up girl. Raised by a messed up woman.
Yep.
I'm afraid we've got a culture and a society filled with that level of depravity.
Yep.
And insensitivity. God help us.
Amen.
Bible says in verse number 28, "Brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother." I'm going to suggest one more point here, and then we'll move along to a happier subject. But now that you've killed the preacher, now that you've eliminated his voice from your life, what are you going to do with what remains? I'm sure the joy over having the severed head of John the Baptist thrilled Herodias and her daughter for a day or two, but here come the flies. Come the maggots. Here comes the stench. Here comes the reality. What do I do with this thing now that I've got it? I guarantee you, the pleasure was short-lived. And when they got what they wanted, they didn't want what they got. And before you turn your back on the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and find yourself some sissy church that won't rebuke your sin and some wimpy preacher that won't tell you the truth, what are you going to have? When you get over the initial thrill of, oh, I can do what I want, the preacher won't condemn me. Oh, I can live however I want to live and the church won't look down upon me. What you're going to have is flies and stink and maggots and death. And you won't want what you get in place of the Word of God. You'll look at that life and say, what do I do with this? Everything is now death. Because the wages of sin is death. But thank God there's another mother in the very next chapter. Come to Mark chapter number 7. Mark chapter 7. In this case, the problem is not a woman that's unhappy with her husband and wants a different man. In this case, the problem is the devil, not in disguise, but right up front. The Bible says in verse 24, from thence he, Jesus, arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. I'd say Herodias' daughter had an unclean spirit, wouldn't you? Heard of him and came and fell at his feet. I hope you can see the dramatic difference between this mother whose daughter has an unclean spirit and the last mother whose daughter had an unclean spirit. One turned her back on the Lord and one sought him. One in defiant rebellion sought to silence the words of the Lord. This woman comes in humility and falls at the feet of Jesus. And the woman, verse 26, was a Greek, not entitled to the blessings. A Syrophoenician by nation, not part of the covenant people. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. One woman said, nothing I do is sinful. How dare you? The other woman said, the devil's got my daughter. There's an honesty. There's an integrity. She doesn't try to sugarcoat it. She doesn't try to make the preacher change the rules. She looks at her daughter. She sees her daughter's life is in a mess. She doesn't blame it on anyone else. She says, the devil's got a hold of my daughter. Lord, help my daughter, please. The churches have changed the rules to accommodate dirty children. The preachers have changed the preaching to accommodate mothers who want to accommodate dirty children. But here's a woman that really doesn't know much about the offerings and the sacrifices and the temple worship and the scriptures. She's an outlandish woman. But she knows what she's heard about Jesus. And she comes to him and says, my daughter's life is a mess and I can't help her. Would you help my daughter? But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. Jesus is a dispensationalist. He says, you know, really right now I'm dealing with the children of Israel. Really right now I'm in the Messiah phase here. And I'm fulfilling the first half of the Old Testament prophecies. And he doesn't explain any of that to her. He just says, you know, it's not your turn. You're not a child of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You're not entitled to these miraculous signs and wonders. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. I try to be nice. I really do. I try to be nice. I try to be kind. That was the wrong time to laugh. Nathan, you're the nice kid. I've never called a woman a dog. I've never been out preaching the gospel and said, this tract's, you don't get a tract. God so loved the world except you. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever, but not you. I mean, if you don't understand, he came unto a first wave, first offer to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Christ says, right now, I'm dealing with the Jews. It's not your turn. You're a Gentile. You're a Bible. Heathen. You're a Bible. A dog. The Jews viewed the Gentiles as dogs. Lower class of people. All John the Baptist said is, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that woman wanted him dead. Jesus said, you're a dog. I have nothing for you. And she says, verse 28, she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. She didn't get angry. She didn't get bitter. She didn't get resentful. She said, call me whatever you want to call me. Just help my daughter. Amen. Amen. Insult me. Offend me. Preach the hide off of me. Just help my daughter. Boy, this generation of I dare you to say something I don't like. I dare you to look at me the wrong way. I dare you to quote a verse out of the Bible I don't agree with. I dare you to say my children aren't perfect. Look at this woman. She comes to Jesus and Jesus, from our perspective, insults her. And she said, if I'm sitting at the table and you tell me there's nothing at the table for me, I'll get under the table. If I can't eat the meal on the plate, I'll get down and hope for scraps that fall off the edge of the table when you're carrying the dishes to the kitchen. Just help my daughter. You know how you build a mega church? Offer people wealth and money and power and fame and perfect health. You know what Jesus said? Your kids need you to humble yourself and take the low place and beg God to do whatever He's got to do to get your kids out of the hands of the devil.
Amen.
And that's what she did. One woman in her pride destroyed her daughter. And another woman in her humility rescued her daughter.
Amen.
Take a look. The Bible says in verse number 29, he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter.
Amen.
And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon a bed. One mother was humble, not offended, willing to take whatever Jesus had to give if we would only rescue her daughter from the devil. Here's what I want to know this morning. Do you love your children? Do you love your family? Stop arguing with the Bible. Stop fighting with the preaching of the Word of God. Stop being offended. Stop making excuses. Stop allowing the world to train your children and teach your family to be unholy. Humble yourself. Get under the table. Beg Jesus for crumbs. If that's all He's got for you, His crumbs are better than half an empire. When Mark chapter 6 closes. A mother is sitting in a house with her daughter, and all they've got for their actions is a severed head. When Mark chapter 7 closes, a mother is sitting in a chair, looking at her little girl, sleeping peacefully and soundly, and knowing that Jesus has delivered her from the devil and all the uncleanness that comes with it.
Amen.
Which mother do you want to be? Which father do you want to be? Which husband do you want to be? Which wife do you want to be? Do you want half an empire as long as you don't have to get rid of the sin in your life? Do you want anything but to hear that preacher's voice one more time saying that's wrong? Or do you want Satan gone from your home? Do you want your loved ones delivered from the devil? Do you want a rotting, severed head? Or do you want peace and rest and comfort and calm? I'd come to Jesus and do whatever He asked. I'd come to Jesus and take whatever He said to me. I wouldn't be offended by it. I wouldn't be angered by it. I wouldn't try to defend myself. I'd just humbly say, Lord, if you want me to bark, I'll bark. If you want me to sit, I'll sit. You want me to roll over, I'll roll over. Call me a dog. Call me whatever you want. Just don't let the devil have my children.
Amen.
I read about that first mother, I want nothing to do with her. I read about that second mother, I say, Lord, make me just like that.
Amen.
Make me just like that. Heavenly Father, help us in a world of lewd conduct, disobedience, death. Oh God, we don't want to be a part of that. But in a world where Your power still delivers the humble from the hand of the devil, God, help us, please, to desire Your crumbs more than the world's birthday banquets. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.